Hey friends, it's your pal Mike Shea from Sly Flourish, here with another episode of Sly Flourish's Lazy GM Prep. In this show, I go through steps from Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master while preparing for my Sunday role-playing game. In this case, we are running the role-playing game Shadowdark by Kelsey Dion of Arcane Library, using a campaign built around Cursed Scroll 1, also by Arcane Library, known as The Gloaming. This show, like all of the work of Sly Flourish, is brought to you by the patrons of Sly Flourish. Patrons get access to all kinds of cool stuff. The City of Arches Sourcebook, Uncovered Secrets Volume 1 and 2, whole bunch of different tools and adventures that you can use in your games, a whole bunch of things that you can use to make your games better. And they help me put on shows like this. To the patrons of Sly Flourish, thank you so much for your support. I did not have a game in, I think, the last 2 weeks. So it feels like it's been forever. I think I was sick and we had too few people out. And I have a feeling that next weekend we're not going to have a game either, because a lot of friends of mine are going to GaryCon. Look for the Sly Flourish shirts at GaryCon, but I won't be there, unfortunately. So, but we're having a game today. We got 4, maybe 5 people coming over today. So we are going to continue our Shadowdark Gloaming game. We will begin by just getting the session planning note template. I'm using Notion to do my campaign planning here. So we're going to click session, generate a session planning template. It's very funny. I'll tell you, you know, it's going to cause drama, but I'm using a lot of Obsidian now for my game prep. I think all of my other games are now using Obsidian. My two other games are using Obsidian. I just switched over from Notion to Obsidian for my Shadowed Keep on the Borderlands game because I really enjoy Obsidian. It's really, really fun. That said, Notion works great too. So, and Notion kind of fits my flow of doing things here on the show. So I am going to continue to use it. But I know that like there's going to be people like, damn it. Now, I'll have the same thing that I told to my friend who told me about Notion, which was, you got me hooked on Notion and then you switched to Obsidian and now I'm mad. And I have a feeling a bunch of people are like, you told me about Notion. I had somebody tell me this. Like, you told me about Notion and now you're switching to Obsidian. Oh my God, what are you doing? One issue, though, with Notion or with Obsidian is that it doesn't really have a web-based way to do the editing. You have to use their client tool. And that isn't really great when I'm doing my streams, especially. I can do it, obviously. I can just switch a window and use the client version. But it's been really handy to have everything inside of a browser. So that's an issue. But anyway, neither here nor there. And honestly, like when it comes to like the weekly prep, I don't think it matters too much because the way that I've been using Obsidian has been very, very lightweight. And I'm going to use that same lightweight approach here. It's actually made converting stuff from one to the other much easier to have lightweight prep notes and stuff like that. Today is 17 March. And honestly, I am agnostic. I do not say, oh, everybody should use tool X or tool Y. I think you should use whatever tool works well for you. If it's Google Docs, if it's OneNote, if it's, you know, whatever, World Anvil, Obsidian, Notion, a pen and paper notebook, right? I am good with whatever you want to use. I do not promote one tool over another. But I think if you are unhappy with the tools that you've got, if you're struggling with some of the tools that you've got, it's always worth watching other people to see what they're doing with things and say, that really is a nice advantage. So let's talk a little bit about what happened in the last game. In the last game, which was feels like forever ago, the characters were exploring the Marrow Tree, the roots of the Marrow Tree, which was a area where bandits and a former knight of Saint Yidris, who now was following the Undaluk and Almazot, had a portal open, and Undaluk themselves was coming out of the portal. So the character, let's see, I can show it on a map. I'll bring up my owlbear here. This is my Gloaming game. Here we go. Ah, I know why there's no Owlbear Rodeo map, and that's because I didn't even use an Owlbear Rodeo map for this. I was doing this, I've been now playing in person with this game, and so I've been doing a lot by drawing it out. But the characters, let's see if we can see a laser pointer. Can we see a laser pointer if I draw it here? Yeah, you can kind of see it. So I wish I could get a bigger laser pointer. I don't want a big fat one. I get this. Okay. So the characters started up here. They met a very friendly manticore here. Not a manticore? What's the one that has 3 heads, a goat, and I don't think that's a manticore. That's a chimera. They met a chimera here. The chimera let them go past. They went down here. They found the first orb. So we decided that in this map, there are 2 orbs. There's an orb here and an orb here that both control portal, which is open here. So they got this orb. They were carrying it with them. They went into this area. They met Undaluk. They fought character that they've been hearing about since the very first session of the game, they defeated, which was Greaves Redthorn. So they defeated him, they fought his guards and defeated them. And then they were talking to Undaluk, and they managed to convince Undaluk to walk back out of the portal, back into his realm, and then smash the first orb. So now the portal is unstable, but Undaluk is trying to get back out again. So they quickly rushed down to the south, and they're making their way, and they just burst in this final room with a chamber here with the orb in it. And you know what might be fun? I think I could do this if I have a little time. I could set up a nice Dwarven Forge setup for this chamber. I think that'd be really easy to do because I have a Dwarven Forge setup that I used for my game on Wednesday, and I'm using, I think, almost exactly the same parts. So I think I could create a fun, we could actually use Dwarven Forge maps and minis at my game today. Wouldn't that be fun? I'll have to do that. I'll see if I have time. So the characters are bursting in the room, and that's where we are starting today's game. And it should be pretty. So the nice thing is I have a very good, strong start, which is, you know, facing the, they're not heralds. What are these guys? They are the Siphons. Siphon of Marrow. The Siphons of Marrow are wizards that are charged with channeling energy into this orb in order to keep the, in order to keep the sphere, and so going to keep the portal to Undaluk open. So I think we have 4 to 5 players today. So this is an interesting Shadow Darky sort of question that I have, which is, so typically the way that I would set up an encounter like this is I know what kind of creatures make sense here. And I could say, like, in this area, the creatures that make sense would be some Marrow Wolves and the Siphons of Marrow, right? If I wanted to throw more things in here, you could have some sort of Marrow Folk, like Marrow Bandits, right? Who are sort of the low-level guards. And typically, what I'd, you know, instead of, like, figuring out, well, I know that there's 3 Siphons of Marrow, right? I know that that's the case because I don't know why I know that there's 3, but it's 3. There are 3 of the Siphons of Marrow. But then there's a question like, well, how many Marrow Wolves make sense? And, you know, so you know, I could roll a die, but I could also just pick a number, you know, and I might say like 2, you know, 2 Marrow Wolves and 2 Marrow Bandits. That is a total of 7 creatures against 4 to 5 characters. But a lot of those creatures are pretty low. Like, I think the wolf in Shadowdark is a relatively low-level creature, right? It's level 2. And I think bandits, if I'm going to use Marrow Bandits. And when I say, like, a Marrow Wolf or a Marrow Bandit, what does that mean? It's almost all flavor. I think it's 100% flavor. They are only level 1. So, you know, that's nice. And that you could look at those and say, well, they're only level 1. They only have 4 hit points. It might be kind of fun to throw 4 of them in there instead of 2 because they're going to drop fast. They do a D4 damage. They have +1 to hit and +0. And the characters at 5th level are pretty meaty. So now I'm like, well, I'm cheating a little bit. I'm going to throw the threat up. So I'm going to have 4 marrow bandits. Right? Is that anti-Shadow Dark? And I'm not sure it is, because, like, sure, you face random encounters, but not everything is a random encounter, right? If you look at maps and stuff like that, the maps have fixed encounters too, and those fixed encounters often, I think, have a certain number of creatures. How do we come up with those numbers of creatures? Like, what's the right approach? So my approach is you start with a situation and you decide what makes sense for the given situation. Then you look at that and say, how tough is this going to be? And you might, if you look at it and say, oh, this is way over deadly and I don't want this to be a deadly fight, then you might lower it. But if you also say, but I do want it to be a challenging fight, so I'm not going to have too few. And that's when you look at a Marrow Band and say, well, it's only level 1. The character's level 5. They're going to be able to drop them in a single hit. They're practically minions. Why don't I make them 4 instead of 2? Am I violating the principles of Shadowdark when I do that? I don't know. Like, that's a real, you know, I don't know how you're supposed to necessarily, I don't know that, does Shadowdark say? Like, I know it's got sort of loose encounter building guidelines, you know, and on balance, so let's say on balance, be unpredictable, typical amounts, averaging. So, I mean, do I care? Because, like, I could just play the way I want to play. What do I care? Well, there's definitely part of me that whenever I'm playing an RPG, I want to at least know a thing before I violate a thing, right? I at least want to understand what the intention is before I change that intention. And I'm trying to remember, there was a thing where I talked about what the quote unquote balanced encounters were. And it made a clear point of saying, like, don't worry too much about balancing encounters. Yeah, so here, right? Like, the monster, how many monsters? Use the one-to-one monster table to determine what level a monster should be when there is one of that monster per character in combat. This sort of results in combat of average difficulty. You can combine these levels into different quantities, blah, 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 blah. I really like this. But I don't think the intention is, like, you hang on to this too tightly. So the average party level is 4 to 3. That means, like, you know, a level 3 monster per character is an average fight. It's giving a good, what I like about this is essentially like a lazy encounter benchmark. You know, and that's why I think the lazy encounter benchmark fits a Shadow Darky style of play, because you are not using an encounter budget, right? I'm not starting off by saying I have, you know, let's say I have 4 characters of an average of 5th level, so that's 20, and so I can then have 20 levels worth of monsters, you know, and therefore I'm going to make sure there's 20 levels of monsters. No, instead I'm saying, like, these are the monsters that make sense. By the way, I have no idea what a siphon of marrow is. It's probably, I think they have a cultist. Let's look at their, I think it's going to be a cultist. Whoops, that's the wrong one. So maybe I'm arguing my own way out of this. So their cultist is level 2 and has death touch. Is that enough? Like, yeah, I mean, again, they're relatively low level. So they're actually facing a larger number of lower level. So that's good. Roll some dice, sure, but how many? Right. And one thing I do is, like, sometimes you roll and you're like, oh, I'm going to roll a D6, and you roll 1 and you're like, well, that sucks. Or you roll a 6 and you're like, uh-oh. You know, and so I do a lot of, like, 1D3 plus 1s, which, you know, is like, oh, it's between 2 and 5. That's actually a nice one. Like, you know, or 2D4 gives you a nicer curve, and you could do that. And then that way there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of variance to it. But then it's still like, yeah, but before the game, I kind of know what's going to be, you know, correct. So we have the Siphons of Marrow, which are cultists. And I think it's actually okay. They've had a big fight against big dudes. So I don't think they need to face any big dudes right now. I think that actually having, you know, a couple of Marrow Wolves, 4 Marrow Bandits, and 3 Siphons of Marrow, that's a lot of dudes for them to face in one fight. But they're all relatively low level. And the characters now have some, like, crazy high armor classes. I'm talking about this in my talk show, too. Crazy high armor classes. Anyway, so getting the second orb of marrow, of the marrow portal. Do they close the portal? If not, Undaluk comes free. Let's take a look at the characters. So today, Morrigan will be there. Morrigan is the only character that has not yet died since the beginning of the session. Dazder will not be there. Calum the elf wizard will be there. Lauren, the goblin scout, will not be there. Yuralt will be there. And Tribble will be there. So we have Morrigan, Calum, Yuralt, and Tribble. And I might have a guest. I might have a special guest with a brand new character coming today. I don't know how, like, in tight we want to weave the story around the characters, because they could just get killed. But it's still good to think about, like, what they've got going on. Yuralt with the armor is the one that has, like, a nutty high armor class. Fantastic tank. And I think we'll do fine. But that's why there's so many of these. That's why there's so many of these creatures. As you can spread the love. So those are the characters today. Whoops. So scenes. So they, and then leaving. So then, where do they want to go next? Right? Actually, we can combine this sentence. One thing is, I start printing my notes. So now I'm a little bit more concerned about space. I wanted to get it fit in on one page. Leaving the Marrow Tree, where next? So they could go to, let's see, let's bring up our little overland map. They could begin the journey to the Vile Well, where, man, it's been so long, I forget all these characters' names. The sorcerer, Haldren, is where Haldren the sorcerer is imprisoned. They could return to the town. What's the name of the town? Wardenwood. What they'll find is that, well, we can put that in the secrets and clues. We can do it right now. We're going to turn these into bullets instead of check marks. So the people, what did we determine? So we already rolled, I have a D20 here. So how bad have things gotten? It was already pretty bad. So it hasn't gotten that much worse. So we'll say 70% of the people of Wardenwood have turned into Mugdal folk, Mugdal blood folk. About another, let's see, we're going to say 50%. No, let's see, 70% have turned into Mugdal blood folk. Only 20% of those can be saved. The rest are all gray oozes. The survivors, the cursed survivors, have gone to 108, which is, have gone to the mossy menhirs. They've camped around the mossy menhirs among the silver flowers, which seem to hold the curse at bay. So they could return to Wardenwood. They could go to the Vile Well. Is there any other locations that they could go to? There's a couple of spots along the way that they might travel to. We'll probably throw those in the locations just to have a good idea of what they're, where they might be headed. Other secrets. There's a huge, let's see, the sky above has turned into a violet vortex. The mountainous teeth continue to grow. The jaws of Almazatz. Well, let's look at the locations. So are there any other places that they could go? Let's do a quick run through the locations in the gloaming and see if there's any other places that they could go. Shattered Tower, all these places they've been to. Bittermold Keep they've been to. The Outlaw Camp is just where they went. They're not going to, they know that Haldren's Tower is something they can't get into. So I can't remember if they said they're going to go there. They might travel to Haldren's Tower. But the tower is sealed up and cannot, Haldren sealed it up and cannot get inside. But maybe, let's see, I got a secret. Haldren sealed his tower before he left to find the second artifact. Only one of his blood can enter, and Morrigan counts. Morrigan is his daughter. She didn't know it. That's a secret. It wouldn't be surprised, though. The Barrow Mounds at 910. Low rolling hills mark the tombs of ancient denizens of the forest. Mists from the bogs roll over these burial sites and strange lights dance in the fog. That's pretty cool. What? And that's along the path that they could be following. So, and they could see the lights. What would these be? Spirits of the, of probably the spirits, let's see, many centuries, the denizens of the Fae danced with the mortals of the gloaming. The results, dancing is a euphemism for sex. The results were the Green Knights. Their ancestors reside at the Burial Mounds, 807. So that could be fun. The Barrow Mounds. Did I put them in the wrong place? Oh, 807 is the Stone Circle. Okay. So no, this is at the Barrow Mounds, and that is going to be in 910. 710, I think I had this already written out for last time. In fact, we should look at let's save ourselves a little time and go back and look at the secrets that I had last time. I'm gonna grab all these and I'm gonna move them in, and then we'll delete the ones I don't need. And we'll review them, save myself a little trouble. So the Knights of St. Yiders trapped Haldren in the Vile Well. I think they know that, but I'm going to reinforce it. Underlook wants to ensure that Haldren's artifacts will never fall into the hands of the cult of Muggleblub. They could cause irreparable harm to all worlds should they fall in the wrong hands. I think that is secret worth reinforcing. Neither side seems to know what artifact Haldren was seeking in the Vile Well. The one both of them seek is the Black Cloak cut from the fabric of space by Shun. The Black Cloak is a portal to all possible worlds. These are all good. And I think they learned a bunch of these, but like sometimes it helps me to have the secrets in there again, and I can reinforce that the characters remember this. Gwendolyn created the Black Cloak and gave it to her husband, Haldren. She cut it from the night sky with the obsidian witch knife. Titania has an elder creature who hunts for her artifacts and seeks to protect her faithful called the Willow Man. Both sides seek to turn it to their will, but it has been quite resistant to their attempts. I don't know if I'm going to bother with that one. The Vile Well leads to an underground location known as Last Watch, the keep of the Shimmering Valley. This keep is the lair of the followers of Ramlot the Pillager, or Ramlot of the Horde. That's cool. Down in the Vile Well is another village of orcs who follow Gidi, the god of feasts, mirth, and wilds. They defend themselves against the demonic worshipping orcs of Ramlot, who have taken over the keep of the Shimmering Valley. Yeah, that I thought was cool. So that's all down the Vile Well. You go down the Vile Well and there's an Underdark down there. The well leads to, these are all like out of order. Oh no, what did I do? The well leads to the Shimmering Valley. There we go. Haldren traveled to the village of Nighthaven, where the followers of Gidi reside. The spies of Knights of St. Idris know that Haldren went into the Last Watch and never came back out, likely sacrificed to the slabs, likely sacrificed on the slabs of Ramlot. It could have it that the Knights, kind of the Knights of St. Idris, gave Haldren to the Ramlot the Pillager. So instead of the spies saying that he went in and never came back out, well, I guess the spies work better because Haldren went that way. So Haldren wasn't exactly trapped in the well. He went down in the well, and the followers of the Knights of St. Idris ensured that he could never get back out again. I think that that is the intention. That is a pile of secrets there, boyo. But I think that that's all. I think that's all good. I think that's all important for the players to pick up on. Plenty of those fantastic locations. So we have the Vial to the Marrow Tree. We have all the stuff that's in the book that we're not going to bother to write down. But I guess we can write down the potential list of locations they might go along the way. And that includes the Stone Circle, Kythiris' Stone Circle. That could be a fun place. The Barrows, and that's 9-10. Can't do parens. The Barrow Mounds, 7-10 is, I thought this was going to be a fun one. Uncle Grigor's Love Shack. Uncle Grigor's Shack, he's a kook, but he knows a lot. Haldren's Tower, we already know about. Barrow Mounds, a Mushroom Grove. Where the hell is that? That's way north. We're not going there. The Bone Cave is also far north. We're not going there. Marin's Hold. So Marin's Hold is, and that's a terrible place, 1108. Might be interesting to decide what happened in Marin's Hold in all this time. So Marin's Hold is where fisher folk live. And recovering from an attack by 6 Skrell demons who breached the palisades and slew 20 souls, they've been burning people at the stake here. And that's at Boot Hill, 1205. And Morgan's mother, Gwendolyn, died here. We could do some vampire stuff here. Who doesn't want to do vampire stuff? That's Boot Hill. The Orc Village. I think we're going to have that the Orc Village. I don't like the idea that the orcs are all a bunch of demon-eating people. Like, why don't we have some fun orcs? Nice orcs. 1308. Meyer Castle Ruins is where the Green Knights... It's 1308. And that one we're going to actually have like an official. If they want to go place back the items of the Green Knights, they can do so at the Meyer Castle Ruins. And I think, let's see, man, there's a lot of stuff this way. The Ancient Cairn, it's 1401. Where the hell's that? Oh, that's way north. The Mud Pit is 1403. Greywall Priory is 1406. So the Priory is actually pretty close to... And that's where the Knights of St. Idris, that's the headquarters of the Knights of St. Idris. 1409 is the Wolf Cave, 16 wolves. I think it's a second portal. This is kind of BS. I think this is the second of Undaluk. He has another way out. 1510, Corrupted Henge. Henge of Standing Stones have been shifted out of alignment by the roots of massive marrow tree. Spells are hard to cast within the inside the tree trunk rests Talgor, conjoined twin Draelic. That erupts forth when it smells prey nearby. I guess that's like a demon thing. The Corrupted Henge, 1510. That might be like a fun encounter location. And then we have the Vile Well, 1607. That's a lot of locations. NPCs. So I think a notable NPC would be... Well, we know... Let's see. If they go back to Wardenwood, they might meet Matilda Bauer, and she's managed to survive. She probably has... an aide, and her aide is named Karina. I wish they had the surname. Karina Carlsby. I'm going to go with that. Aide to Matilda. The other ones I probably improvised at the time. Monsters I put up here in our list of that. I don't think I'm going to have a separate section for monsters. I don't think I need them because we're going to be using the book and what's going on. The same is true for treasure. I've enjoyed rolling treasure. And then session notes I'm going to write elsewhere. So I don't really need any of these other sections because we don't really prep that sort of stuff, right? That one where we roll randomly on that kind of thing to see what's going on. But we've got a good list of like the locations that they can discover along the way. I mean, I don't even know if I need that in that list. I guess I have it. I might as well keep it now. But I might trim it if I'm going to do my printable version. Do I need, let's see, are there any maps or anything that I need to prepare? Because we know what they're going to be doing now. We know what the first part of the game is going to be, which is fighting off the group in that one chamber. And then they're probably going to leave the Marrow Tree. And then they might either head to Wardenwood and see what's going on there, but that doesn't need any kind of map or anything like that. And then they're going to be traveling east. The Barrows, I don't think, will necessarily have a map. So really, so the Priory, both, I guess two locations would be the Greyrawl Priory needs a map, and the Meyer Castle Ruins need a map. And I think I have both of those. So here's the Priory map. I already picked one. That looks cool. I'm going to save this to my desktop and then probably print it out. There it goes. Print that guy. And then I can draw my key on it when I need to. And do I have one for, yeah, Meyer Castle Ruins. And I open that guy up. Save that to my desktop. Print that guy. So now I got those. So those are two dungeon locations. And I think, did I do a Last Watch is where Haldren is being held. So this is a dungeon map that I'm going to use for that. Whoops. And we will save that image and print that. I have my printer up on a cabinet and it just spits paper right at me. So it like lands on the floor. It's really funny. So I got those maps. I don't need to worry about starting to fill in all of the locations on that map yet. So that's fine. But I will, when they get closer or when I know which one they're going to go to, then I will take a pen and I will write in various things that are going on those maps while I am, you know, when I know that they're going to go there. And that's how I'll key the maps when I'm ready. A common question I get, not only from other folks, but also from my players, is when is this thing, when is it over? Not like I hate it and it's over, but like, how long do you think this will go? And I have no idea. But I get the feeling that like there's a couple, you know, it depends on like the kind of stuff that they do and where they go. They will probably have to head back to the Temple of Mugdalblub. My expectation is that they're going to acquire the items from Haldren. They're going to go to Mugdalblub. They're going to bring the, they have to bring the stuff back and destroy Mugdalblub in this world with the Sphere of Annihilation, and then send the Sphere of Annihilation through the portal into all the Mugdalblub worlds and destroy Mugdalblub in every plane. And thus they will have saved countless worlds as, you know, as low level Shadow Dark characters. Not low level, they're pretty mid level Shadow Dark characters. So I think that would be pretty fun. Hey, my mom is here. Hi, mom. Is there anything else I feel like I need to have prepped today? And I don't think so. Like when I have a really strong start and then it's kind of loose, I feel like I've got, I mean, I got tons of secrets and clues. So let's see, we're going to copy this whole thing. Oh, let's see, I can kill that piece of it there. And I actually do want a list of the characters. And we have Morgan, Geralt, Dazner's not going to be there. I think it's Calum and Tribble. I think those are my characters. So if I copy this and I put it into BB Edit, I get a nice markdown version. I save that and then I use my new little automator script to turn those into a PDF. And oh, look, it fits. It fits on one page. I'm so happy. I'll show what that looks like. So I created a template that lets me output it into a two-column nice printable format that I can print and put into my game notes. So that's off. I'm surprised I had extra room. I felt with the million secrets and clues, I would have taken everything up. But no, this actually works quite nicely. So that way I've got cool printed notes for my game and I've got my nice printed maps. And I think we're good. You know what I could use though? What I don't have, I guess it's in the, I have them in the book. I was going to say, I need a print map of the area, but I really don't because I have it in the book itself. It might be nice for them to have one though. So let me print out a blank version. I think if I go into my Shadow Dark stuff, Curse Scroll 1, and yes, I have a blank hex map. Printing lots of stuff. So this is what the blank one looks like. And I think this is good enough. Like this is a good thing I can put on the table in front of them. They can decide where that they're going. We can figure things out. We can go through the hexploration rules and all of that. But it doesn't tell them that much about what these places are. And then they can go, ooh, let's go down. What's up with that? And I'm like, I don't know. You're going to go find out. And I'm like, oh. So that works. So I think we are all set for today's game. I think I've got everything we need. So I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me today while I prepared for my Sunday role-playing game. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you like this show and you want more stuff like this from me, the best thing you can do is subscribe to the Sly Flourish newsletter. It is absolutely free to sign up. You just give me your email address and you get a weekly RPG-related email that has links to all of the other work that I do every week, and you get a free adventure generator PDF. The link to sign up, all you have to do is give your email address, is in the show notes. You can also join me on Patreon. Patrons get access to all kinds of tools, tips, tricks, a dedicated Discord server, a monthly Q&A, tons and tons of stuff you get for being a patron of Sly Flourish, and you directly support the show. So thank you for that. And you can pick up any of my books, including Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master, Lazy DM's Workbook, Forge of Foes, Lazy DM's Companion, the Fantastic Adventure books, shirts, t-shirts and mugs and all kinds of stuff you can pick up on the Sly Flourish bookstore. There is a link for that in the show notes as well. Thank you all so much. Have a great day and get out there and play an RPG.